This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting. A lot going on around the program today, and we've got a thick show, a thicker show than a Sydney Sweeney thirst trap, because we've got one of our engineers on the one hand, Bandit, just collected $700. Shout to Sean. We've got Larry coming with Mayu Angelou quotes before the program started. And we've got the big guy with a tank of gasoline and a match. Over the next 3 hours, he might burn this place down. So I got to keep us together. Obviously, the happy one here. Going to try to keep us together as we say hi. And I get my little earpiece fixed here for the 1,000,000th time. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Get this cup out of the way. Let's be a proper show. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D in downtown Las Vegas. What we like on the program, live bullets. So we've got soccer coming up for you. We also have... Yeah, vibes, big guy, no doubt. We also have the Giants and White Sox. We're going to have to find a way to profit off of one of the worst teams in the history of Major League Baseball. That's coming up in about 39 minutes. What else? I am actually, and we could start here, but why don't we start by showing you what's on tap over the next 3 hours? Just a big show. A big show. Ryan Reynolds is going to join. That's Dustin's boy. And he's going to give us some gambling advice. Mike Palm is going to stop by. Palm versus the big guy, as we had a draw amongst the two heavyweights last week. Of course, you know, VP of Ops over there at Circa. And, of course, VSiN host. Just ask him. And superstar on The Chase for $9.2 million. A docuseries which is absolutely tearing up the streets. Make sure you go check it out at VSiN.com. Kevin Rogers is going to stop by as well. And Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, 30-plus years of experience in Las Vegas. We always love our Wednesdays with Scott Spreitzer on the program. Let's say hi to you. Again, we're going to get the bets in as a family today on a Wednesday, August 21st. We say hi to the big guy for the first time today. Now, I do come to you kind of tiptoeing around the mood lately. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We got live bullets going on right now. Sweating out the Mets. Need a couple more runs for the team total here against the Orioles. We've reached the point in the game, eighth inning. It's 3-2 Mets. Orioles do have a runner on where I want them to tie it up so we can get into extra innings. That's what I need right here in that one. And we've got that Giants game coming up. I got a player prop there. I've also got a 40-1 shot that can cash today that I think could be intriguing if people want to get down.
That's wonderful. And it really is, man. It's great to see you. I'm glad you're doing well. And I look forward to the program. Eric Lindquist has sent over a family play. Stuart Durst, this is a heavy hitter, right? This is Aaron Halterman, Lindquist, and Durst. When talking about some of the three best professionals in the betting space, that's pretty damn good. I should start and remissively talk about our buddy Jake Novacevic. He got bounced in Sharp Money Survivor. But he sent, and you know what? We'll get that clip in the first hour. Okay. Here. He sent in a farewell video that I think is wonderful. It's a wonderful reminder of why we started Sharp Money Survivor. And it's really just to build a community and to get you to be a part of the family. And we've been introduced to so many new friends and new VSiN pros. And it's really been something that's kind of taken on a life of its own. The big guy and I that came up with the idea, and we've had some fun with it. The message sent over by our buddy Jake from Pittsburgh is one that I think everybody working in the industry needs to hear. This is not a right. It's a privilege. Coming in here and talking about sports and talking about sports betting, that ain't a right. We're privileged to do so. And I think the message from one of our buddies in the Sharp Money family will express just that. Okay, so we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. We jam-packed show. As it looks like the big guy is out of frame now, and I don't know what's happening with the camera work, but where is the big guy? Is he gone?
I think
did he
it's
leave?
Fixed.
Did
I...
he finally quit?
All right, I'm going to move
to the
other
seat. Oh, Larry's having issues. So, Dustin, you need to move to your left, your other left. You need to move to your... No, you need to move to your big left. I know it takes a while. There he is. He's got the laptop. He's probably going to be mad, and I didn't do anything. Larry didn't do anything
either.
You're
telling me one thing. Larry's telling me another thing. I'm just standing here like an idiot in the middle of this place.
Well, could you just move to your... There you go. Could you just do maybe one more step to the left? Again, you're my buddy. I love you, man. Hey! How you doing?
I was trying. I was trying.
You consider yourself a college football sharp? We have to talk about this Florida State-Georgia Tech game in Dublin. Week zero, coming up on Saturday. Something is happening here. So, again, and DraftKings is showing 10 right now. So, Florida State opened 13.5. Most shops are showing 10.5. This is coming up on Saturday, kicking off college football for the season. Florida State-Georgia Tech ACC tilt. Okay? So, I'm looking at mostly 10.5. I see a shop in Pennsylvania that's still 11. But DraftKings, obviously balancing some money here. They're all the way down to 10. I'll text Thomas Gable at the Borgata, who runs the Race and Sportsbook, and see where he's at on Florida State, Georgia Tech, coming up on Saturday. I do think it's fascinating. You and I discussed it yesterday, that we thought the steam was going the right way, and that's to Georgia Tech. That was, I'm talking 12.5, I'm talking 11.5. Once we start creeping down to sub-doubles, we're coming back on Florida State, because this is getting a little ridiculous. Now, let's discuss these two teams for a second here. Norvell is a public coach. People like betting on Norvell, and after an undefeated regular season last year for Florida State, obviously lots of hype. Now, they are replacing key players across the board, including Jordan Travis and Keon Coleman, just two names that obviously you know. They went to the portal and killed it. However, the portal is very nebulous, Sweetelson. How is a 21-year-old going to adjust? New schemes, new latitude and longitude. Like, there's so much that has to go right in the portal for these teams to work out. DJ Uiagalelei, all right? Now, I'm not a huge fan of the Clemson and Oregon State and now Florida State quarterback. I'll just say that. However, he does thrive in play action. And Norvell is an offensive guy. And Jordan Travis and the play action he drew up for him last year, that's when Florida State's offense was clicking. They weren't great in the run game. They're going to have to improve there. The Seminoles, they brought over Roydell Williams from Alabama, who's a good running back. And, of course, the Max Exodus from Bama because Nick Saban retired. Now, positives for Florida State. Norvell, 190 starts returned on the offensive line. I think they're going to be better running the ball. Yep. And they have a great defensive front. I think the defense is going to be stellar. And this is where I start to think if we peak a 9.5 on this one big guy, there's a market overreaction. Because you go to Georgia Tech, their defense, their offensive front and defensive front, they are going to struggle against Florida State. I think you would agree with that.
Well, yeah.
They lost a lot of size up front. Take it easy. Now, offensively, 8 returners, including Haynes King, the quarterback, and Jamal Hayes, the running back. They're going to want to run the football. 55.5 on the total. But I think they will be outmanned up front on both sides. Again, if we get to 9.5, I'm going to go back the other way, take the 12.5, lay the 9.5, and try a little middle.
No, I completely agree. If it dips under 10, you have to look at backing Florida State. With that said, I do like the matchup for Georgia Tech, just because the Seminoles are going to have to mix in so many new pieces. And I do like how they've beefed up the defense this year through the transfer portal. A lot of ends, a lot of D tackles coming in from other big programs. Should be able to get that defense going right away. It's the other side of the ball I have questions about. How much is that offense going to be in sync right out of the gates when you're adding in a new quarterback, new receivers, new tight end, new running back? Everyone's still getting to know each other at game speed. Where you look at Georgia Tech on offense, they should be able to do something just because they have so much more continuity. They return 4 offensive linemen. They get a transfer in to be that 5th starting O lineman for the Yellow Jackets. They have a good run game. Haynes King can run the ball as well as throw it. He is a dangerous dual threat weapon. And while their receivers aren't sexy, I think they're very solid across the board. If Georgia Tech is able to play their style of game, they will cover this number because there's so much new being worked in for Florida State. That's why I got 11.5 earlier in this week, but I do agree with you. We get under 10, you have to start thinking about Florida State.
Yeah, and it's a great breakdown. Look, I think Georgia Tech, you mentioned the quarterback and run dual threat. I think they're going to want to run the football. Yep. They have a tremendous back in Hayes. That also includes keeping the ball out of Florida State's hands.
Yes.
But I don't think Norvell, week one, is going to trifle with an in-conference game with DJ Uiagalelei and throwing the football all over the field. They're going to run the football as well because they have. That was their weakness last year. And so they're going to want to establish that identity going into this season.
Yeah, and look, DJ Uiagalelei, like, he has to have a run game. If you look at his history, when he's asked to carry the burden and throw guys open and make big plays in fourth quarter situations where the game is on the line, he comes up short. He's not that type of guy. He needs to work off the play action. He needs to work off of a run game. He needs to be able to find that coverage when they're stacking the box and there's someone one-on-one on the outside. He can make a play there. But if you're asking DJ Uiagalelei to throw early in this game to kind of set the tone for a passing attack, I think that's where Georgia Tech jumps early and potentially has a lead in this game.
And travel plays into this as well. How are they going to travel, of course, over to Dublin? That's a big question for the two teams as well. Two things. One, we both liked 11.5-12 yesterday with Georgia Tech. We're both agreeing that if we do sub doubles, if we get down to 9.5, you come back the other way, you try to find a middle. Okay? That's where we are. There's a couple of things about me. Nobody loves their mom more than I do. But Larry, if you can scroll in.
Whoa.
Is she breaking up with me?
That's
because the last time I received a text message this lengthy, look at that. Is my mom breaking up with me?
Oh, my God.
What is she even saying? There's only so much you could tell me about the weather, Mom. And I love my mom. My mom is, as far as I'm concerned, she's the best mom I ever had.
I think she loves you, but I'm a little concerned with how many words are there.
Oh, maybe it just means she really loves
you. Yeah, she might.
All right. A little college football to start. We've got live bullets with the Giants and White Sox coming back. Sharp money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, just went through week zero with Florida State and Georgia Tech. Just another note, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Also coming up on, I believe it's Sunday night, Delaware State is traveling to Hawaii. I use the word travel loosely. They missed their flight. First off, I don't know how far it is from Delaware State to Hawaii. It feels like you're going to be burned out once you get off the bird to go play a football game. And that's indicative in the number. As, of course, Delaware State's traveling to the mainland. I believe that's what they call Honolulu. Literally just pick up a $500,000 check or whatever.
I'm pretty sure Hawaii is Hawaii and the rest of the United States is the mainland.
Okay, 100%. Totally agree with you. I'm not fighting with you today because, frankly, if we had an HR department, you would have to go to it after this program based on the way you're talking during the breaks. Okay, I'm just trying to right the ship. And speaking of ships, Delaware State might have to take a ship to the island if they don't get on that bird. Just information you need for betting on that game. That's all I'm saying.
4,982 miles.
Is there a direct flight from Delaware?
No.
To Hawaii.
No, the plane's got to stop for fuel.
Yeah, no chance. You'd have to, like, stop in L.A.
Yeah,
and hang out with your boy.
Also, what airport in Delaware has, like, Delaware airport probably goes to, like, four different cities. You can go to, like, four different places, and that's it.
Yeah, Delaware hasn't gotten this much run since your boy George Washington was standing on the edge of the boat trying to get away. You understand?
I got you.
No, you don't. Florida State and Georgia Tech. DraftKings is 10. DraftKings was 11.5 yesterday. We're trying to come back. We're trying to middle this game, the big guy and I. And I think it's important to understand what that means. If you had the 11.5 with Georgia Tech, think Georgia Tech could be competitive here in the trenches. I don't love them against this Florida State team. Florida State has a lot of question marks, but up front on both offensive and defensive fronts, there aren't many. And early in the year, that's what I tend to lean on. But if you can get that 9.5, if it does dip, and you're holding on an 11.5, you can find a middle and win both bets. So we'll keep you monitored with that number as well. Send off a text message to Thomas Gable over at the Borgata and see what he's sitting at there to kind of figure out which way the wind is blowing. So, busy show. We'll get to, of course, we've got a Major League Baseball game coming up with the Giants and White Sox. We're going to bet this a team. We're going to bet this game as a family. Now, again, we're going to have to get creative, which we have, because Logan Webb, who's a stud, is laying a fat price hosting the White Sox. Crochet's not terrible. So six and a half on the total is fascinating.
Yeah, they're just limiting him right now. He's not working deep into games. They want to manage his pitch count. He's a guy who's a converted reliever, first year as a starter, really hadn't started at any level in the minors. And he's been awesome, and he strikes a lot of guys out, but they're not letting him get deep into games. So I can't look at the White Sox because of that. He's going to be out early.
Hold on. We're not capping it right now. I was just setting it up. You're going to come back, and you got like 12 plays on it. I know we're going to come back and get to that. Take it easy. Speaking of Ireland, you know what the Giants batters do against lefties? Bangers and mash. Hey, quickly, quarterback news. Gerard Mayo hasn't announced a starter yet, Dustin Sweetelson, but he did come out with another banger as a quote. I'm starting to wonder about Gerard Mayo with the Patriots. I'm just saying, oftentimes people aren't public speakers. They can't do it like Swede. However, it does feel like, whether it's the Judon situation, it does feel like every time Mayo comes out to say something, I get a little bit more confused and I get a little lighter on the Patriots' prospects. So this is the quote you just sent me about the quarterback competition. And we're heading into week three, of course, with Jacoby Brissett and Drake May. It's still a competition, and Jacoby Brissett is still QB1. It's a competition amongst all the guys on the field, including the quarterback spot. He added, anyone can see the confidence growing in Drake. Anyone can see Jacoby go out here and, as a total body of work, do a good job. So we'll see how it goes. Now, that's not a terrible quote, but it does feel like Mayo is essentially protecting May and basically saying, he a donk, he ain't ready, we overdrafted him.
Yeah, what concerns me about Gerard Mayo is, like, I agree with what he says over and over again, but I disagree with how he says it, if that makes sense. I agree. You can't force Drake May to start right now. And you can call it a competition, but we all know you're going to start Jacoby Brissett, despite him being 18-30 as a quarterback in the NFL. I understand why. I understand you have to. You don't have weapons. You don't want to hurt the development of Drake May. It all makes sense. But every time he says these things out loud, I get really concerned, because if that was my leader, if that was my head coach saying these things to the media, I would wonder what the plan is here, like, overall for the organization.
We do have relatively breaking news. The plan in Denver, they're going to go with the rookie, officially name Knicks QB1 after a very strong camp. Dustin, we're not surprised by this. But good to know. Here's another quarterback situation. The number dropped a little bit. First snap. Now, Fields and Wilson were disasters for the Steelers under center on Saturday. But take a look at the number in preseason game number 3 with Pittsburgh at Detroit. Detroit may play Larry in the game. Okay, they're not playing anybody. So Pittsburgh, who's been a disaster, are laying 6.5. As a matter of fact, we've got some shops showing 7. So pretty much everybody, DraftKings, Westgate. We're circa on that one. Can you see it on the board right there? 6.5 and juicing up to 7 with Pittsburgh at Detroit. The reason I bring it up is because Russell Wilson has come out and said he is going to play. So the quarterback competition with the Pittsburgh Steelers continues with Wilson, who is a -420 front runner, and then Justin Fields. So you're going to see a lot of the starters as far as Pittsburgh as they try to figure out that new offense and figure out who's going to be their quarterback this year, Dustin.
Yeah, I don't have the number. I'm getting it right now because they have week one lines up behind me here, because they are acknowledging what the rest of the NFL is. Nobody cares about NFL preseason week 3. 6.5 right now.
6.5. Okay. I just want to apologize for my coughing. Still battling COVID. Okay. 6.5 on that Steelers number. Wilson has said he is going to play.
Is this one of these days that you're not eating, that you're going to starve yourself? Because you think
that's beneficial? Oh, no. I was supposed to fast yesterday. I never ate more food in one single day. So it didn't go well.
Backfire. Been there, bro. Been there many times.
Apparently don't have a strong constitution.
I wake up a lot of days with a plan to do that, and the opposite usually ends up happening. So I get it.
Is there any other quarterback news before we get to the baseball coming back here? Because then we've got a ton of guests, but we do want to get a bet in for that White Sox and Giants game.
No
Anything
Caleb.
Else, quarterback news?
No Caleb this week.
Oh, yeah. The Steelers are like one of the only teams that's playing.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers told reporters yesterday he has no preference whether or not he faces the Giants in the Jets preseason finale. And
oh, that's nice of him.
And we still don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. That's been.
Can I hear from Gardner?
Your guy?
I want to hear from Minshew. Okay. It wasn't a surprise that Pierce, and I think Aiden O'Connell was better in the preseason. He just had a terrible pick six. And Pierce probably looked at it and was like, oh, that pick six equals 1 year on the job. Maybe I should go with Minshew. And then the Minshew videos start popping up yesterday, like him working out with Creed playing in the background. He's got a mullet. He's definitely a vibe.
He's
a different cat.
He's Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's lit.
Without the kids.
When Gardner Minshew has to step in and there's nothing expected of him as a backup, he's awesome. When you think he's your starter, things tend to not go well. But when you pay him $20 million to be your quarterback, you should probably start him over Aiden O'Connell.
All right, well, let's hear from the starter, and we'll get to the week one number with the Raiders at the Chargers. Do we have Minshew here talking about being named the starter?
Yeah, let's hear about from Gardner Minshew about being named QB1 here in Vegas.
Yeah, I think my role in the offense is going to be to make good decisions. You know, we have guys that are going to get open, getting them the ball, playing point guard, and keeping us on track, man, because I think we got the guys that can make our plays explosive, that can add on top of on top of the play that's already there, you know, really make it come to life. So, I mean, playing point guard out there, helping our team take care of the ball, and just try to win any way possible.
All right. Kids, you don't know the movie. I guess at this point, it's an old movie, but it's called Dazed and Confused.
Hold on.
My man could have been a killer in that movie.
I think that movie came out in 2003, and I think we are to 2003 as 2003 is to, I believe, 1976 when the movie takes place.
You know what? I'm having an issue with the timeline, but I'm just going to agree
with you. If Dazed and Confused was made today, it'd be made about 2003 when I graduated high school.
That's true, and it does come back to you, which is important. Vegas and Minshew. Herbert, still dealing with it. Still doing potentially. Now, again, crazy number. On the 19th, so 2 days ago, this number opened 3, bet all the way up to 4.5 with the Chargers laying it, and then some buyback here on Vegas, though the buyback did not dip below the 3.5 down to that key number of 3. So right now, the Chargers and Herbert laying 3.5 hosting Vegas and Minshew. And that's going to be a home game for the Vegas Raiders here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, the Chargers got rid of all of their good players, and they're still laying 3.5 against the Raiders. Love our bet, me, you, and Samich, where he took the Raiders.
To be excited on a Wednesday, we've got the White Sox and Giants next. Sharp money. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're just joining us, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So expected, but it's become official. Sean Payton has officially named rookie first-round quarterback Bo Nix as Denver's new QB1. So Nix is now slated to start opening day in Seattle against the Seahawks. So quarterback news there. Also wanted to mention, we're going to get into this. So right down the street from where the big guy's sitting at the D in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium on September 1st, number 23 USC is going to take on number 13 LSU. So USC, of course, moves to the Big Ten. This is a fascinating game because here in Los Angeles, USC football matters a lot. There is zero buzz. LSU's laying 5 in this. No surprise. A big time total at 64. USC could stink. Multitude of reasons. And we'll get into it later when we break down this game. USC could be bad. I mean it. Now, they've revamped, obviously, their defensive coaching staff. The big guy was into that earlier, but they do move to the Big Ten in a league that's focused on defense. Not a great recipe. So we will talk about USC and the 23. The ranking for USC feels like they're a big name. What are we going to do with them? Just make them 23 because that is not, I don't believe it's going to end up being a ranked team. We'll discuss them coming up in just a little bit. Brutal schedule as well. But let's get in a bet because we've got live bullets on the program and coming up here in just about 8 minutes, we've got first pitch up in San Francisco. So actually 45, you got plenty of time 14 minutes away. White Sox are going to throw Crochet, the lefty, and San Francisco is going to throw Webb. So I'll take a look at Westgate. They've got minus 230 on Webb coming back the other way with the White Sox at 2-1. Again, if you're going to lay the run and a half, you're going to close to even, -$1.02 on the Giants in a very low total, big guy, at 6.5. Now, a couple of things. One team that's just playing out the streak in the White Sox, and the Giants, 3.5 out of the wild card. There is a ton to play for. You can't trifle with this game. Logan Webb has been fantastic all year. His last time out against the Braves in Fuego, 7 2/3, no runs, 7 Ks. He strikes out a lot of people, 11 wins on the year. Crochet, he was good the last time out against Houston, the Astros, but he hasn't won a game since June 7th. Now, you don't necessarily put all that on Crochet and a lot on the fact that the White Sox stink. But the Giants, we talked about them mashing lefties, which is what Crochet is. And the 7th in baseball against lefties. They need this one. We're not going to lay the 238, big guy, so we're going to get creative here.
Yeah, I like two potential bets in this one. I think if you wanted to go first five, I don't hate the price of laying a half run with the Giants at minus 120. I think that's a perfectly fair price. You mentioned San Francisco really good against southpaws offensively. And on the other side, I don't expect this White Sox lineup to do much against Logan Webb because this game is in San Francisco. Logan Webb is a much better pitcher at home than he is on the road. He is dominant at home, and I don't see there being any opportunities for Chicago to get on the board. All we need is San Francisco to get a run or two. We'll be good to go. We'll cover that because the White Sox offense is so depleted at this point in the season. The way I also would like to attack this is to look at Logan Webb. I mentioned before he's awesome at home, but also specifically in not allowing a lot of hits. So under 6 hits allowed for Logan Webb in his last 4 starts overall, under 6 hits in 4 of his last 5 home games. I looked at Chicago. They're averaging 4.57 hits per game versus opposing starting pitchers over their last 7. It's hitting 5-2 to the under. His hit total for today, Logan Webb, is set at 5.5, minus 131 juice. I'm going to go under 5.5 hits allowed for Logan Webb today.
I like your little prop there. I'm going to keep it simple, stupid. We're going to lay a half a run, $1.15, first five with the Giants and Logan Webb. You in?
I'm in on both. I'm in on both. I think both get there.
6.5 is a wild number. But, again, you're dealing with their ace in the Giants and the ineptitude of this White Sox offense. The White Sox offense at this point, their team totals are set generally right around 2.5.
But what's interesting about that total,
even money to the over.
Yeah, the total's got to be related to weather in San Francisco and the wind potentially blowing out. That's the only way it makes sense because Garrett Crochet, the White Sox have a horrible bullpen. Probably the worst bullpen in all of baseball.
Yep.
And Garrett Crochet's only going to go 4 innings. So we look at the scores of his most recent games. The totals landed on 9, 13, 8, 9. We have to go back to July 23rd at Texas, where a start by Garrett Crochet went under the 6.5 number. So because he's not going deep, because the bullpen stinks, more runs later for the opponent. I don't understand that total unless it's completely weather related.
Yeah, it's a thirst trap if you're trying to battle that bullpen for the White Sox. By the numbers, second worst in baseball. But let's not get buried in a periodic table here. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised you didn't have a bigger reaction to the Sidney Sweeney thirst trap.
Well, you said as thick as
you know
her.
Who did? DeAndre Hopkins. So Sidney Sweeney, beautiful girl. She tweeted thirst trap because you're showing those cheeks.
Yep.
And DeAndre Hopkins jumped in and simply said trapped.
It's well done.
It's not bad.
It's well done. No, look, if I have to take issue with something you said about it. I don't have issues with the pictures. They're spectacular. The issue I have is that you referred to her as thick, and I don't think she's thick. I think she's perfectly in shape.
I didn't mean anything derogatory.
No, thick is a compliment too.
I'm a fan of the Detroit Lions. I'm a fan of Sidney.
I mean, who isn't? What red-blooded male American is not?
Or female? We don't discriminate.
True too.
So again, let's reset the bets on White Sox Giants coming up in 9 minutes. We're going to lay half run first five, $1.15. I actually thought that was a pretty good price on the Giants and Logan Webb here against an inept White Sox offense.
Let's ride.
And then you have, go ahead, this is where you fill it in.
Under 5.5 hits allowed by Logan Webb today, minus 131.
Okay. Good job by you, big guy. I was talking a little bit about USC football. So here's what we're going to do because we have a lot to get to, including guests. We've got Ryan Reynolds, established run.com, NFL betting analyst coming up in the next segment. Then we go Mike Palm, and then we've got Kevin Rogers, Vegas insider handicapper, the Action Network, and then our final hour with our buddy, professional handicapper, who's one of the best, Scott Spreitzer, is going to join. So we've got a lot to do. So I don't want to really set up the game right now, but you and I, when we were discussing it a little bit earlier, again, Lincoln Riley, for some reason, is a lightning rod, and he named Miller Moss the starting quarterback, and Moss, who's been in the system for 3 years, he basically is just riding that Holiday Bowl where he threw for 372 and six touchdowns into this starting job. You can't argue, first off, with the offenses that Lincoln Riley throws out there, that he's an air raid savant, regardless of what you think of him. And he's had a top eight scoring offense in all seven seasons as a coach. So he can coach him up. And if you think about the quarterbacks, so Miller Moss, maybe this is good for him. Baker, Kyler, Jalen Hurts, Spencer Rattler, Caleb Williams, three of those dudes under the tutelage of Lincoln Riley won a Heisman. So he can coach up the quarterback.
Yeah, a lot of those guys transfers, by the way. And he's not going to start his transfer from UNLV, Jordan Maiava, who I think is better than Miller Moss. I don't understand this move, but I don't understand a lot about this USC offseason, Patrick. Like, I don't quite get it. Lincoln Riley invented the transfer portal game. All of a sudden, Caleb Williams is gone, and he's no longer dipping in the portal. They're no longer grabbing the top players from across the country. What exactly is the game plan for year one in the Big Ten? Why are we not making a splash? You're USC. Just because you lost a number one pick doesn't mean you shouldn't have the next number one pick on the roster already. I'm kind of unsure about what the plan is for USC going forward. I know they want to beef up the defense. They want to get better. They brought in a lot more coaching on the defensive side of the football. New coordinator from UCLA and Lynn. The linebacker coach, Entz, was the head coach at North Dakota State where they were winning championships. And Doug Belk, who is the DC at Houston's now the secondary coach. I just don't understand why are you not giving those coaches more players to work with?
Well, maybe you're being a little harsh by saying they need to beef up the defense. Let's go ahead and take a look how they did last year. They were 121st in the nation in points allowed. This is USC football, people. They were 119th in yards per game allowed at 432.8. To say the defense was bad last year, it would have been. It's almost impossible to be worse. And I just don't see enough added on the defense to get that much better.
But that's why this matchup is fascinating, USC versus LSU to open here in Vegas, because if there was a defense worse at tackling, it might be LSU a year ago.
Well, that's why we have a total of 64 on the board, because Riley's going to move the football. You're celebrating. Did you just hit a team total over?
No, unfortunately, the Mets did win. I'm celebrating the Mets won. My team total did not cash a walk-off home run for Jesse Winker, 4-3.
Now, as a bettor, who cares about the win if you didn't win your bet?
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about it.
I mean, it's August 21st, and the Mets won a baseball game. Yippee!
Took 2-3 from the O's, though.
That's
so far.
Great. The O's are depleted. Somehow keep winning, but they're depleted.
Yeah, no, they're bad vibes.
Very much like Atlanta.
Bad vibes.
Terrible vibes. You know what are good vibes? Ryan Reynolds from EstablishTheRun.com, and he's going to join us next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our buddy Ryan Reynolds over at EstablishTheRun.com does a great job on the NFL betting analyst. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanReynoldsNFL, and he's attacking the awards market in the NFL. And as we say hi to Ryan, thank you for your time today. We should start here because you got a good number on Offensive Rookie of the Year in Bo Nix. He was an hour ago named quarterback one there for the Broncos. I'm taking a look at the updated number on Nix. He's your fourth betting favorite in the market at 10-1. Let's talk about Nix and what's the price you got there?
Yeah, I got him at 30-1, so I'm very happy with that. I figured, you know, not much quarterback competition. Sean Payton compared him to Drew Brees. Seemed like an obvious kind of thing. Not real crazy about him at 10-1, especially since Denver has such a thin roster. But, you know, definitely a guy worth keeping your eye on, especially if they falter earlier in the year. Maybe you can get him back at long odds by the end of September.
30-1 is a price. That's what we like to hear. That is tremendous. You like that. Let's get to another one. We'll go offensive player of the year, and we're going to go to the Jets. I believe you have Garrett Wilson. I'm showing Wilson 30-1, but you may have got a different price there.
I got Wilson at 40-1. There's some 35-1 still out there. I think that's very doable. Skill set wise, he's very similar to Devontae Adams. You know, as we know, Devontae Adams was a super producer with Rodgers. Wilson's the clear top guy in New York. As long as Rodgers stays healthy, Wilson's not drawn dead at leading the league in receiving yards. So 30-1, 35-1, still a really good number for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and wide receivers will win that award as well. Let's go to the coach of the year. And you've got Eberflus. Now, Eberflus, I'm showing 9-1 in the market. We can get your price on that. But also, just an overview, if you would, on the Bears. Sitting 8.5 with juice on the over, win total. A lot of respect, Ryan, for them as far as the division pricing. So there's a lot of hype on, obviously, the Bears going into the year.
Yeah, you know, I'm super high on Caleb Williams as a talent. You know, first overall pick, one of the more talented play extenders really ever already. He's crazy in that regard, but I've been a Bears advocate since the end of last year. Their defense played like a top five unit at the end of the year. As long as that Montez Sweat led pass rush continues to play at a high level, they're very much in play for the best defense in the league. I got Eberflus at 20-1. He's the favorite now, 9-1, 10-1. But I wanted to give you guys an alternative way of looking at this a little bit. In week four, let's say Chicago stumbles a little bit. They start 1-2. Week four, three-game homestand, Rams, Panthers, Jaguars, bye, at Commanders, at Cardinals versus Patriots. That looks like five wins. So if Eberflus slides again going into week four, definitely if he slides again going into week five, I'm going to maybe bet on him again at that point.
Love it, and love the direction there. Now, as far as we're talking to our buddy Ryan Reynolds, of course, as far as the defensive player of the year market, I think you're digging deep here. Is that fair to say?
Well, you know, I think in reality, you know, there's three real headliners here. There's Parsons, who hasn't won one yet, Garrett, who's finally won one, and TJ Watt, who's always in the mix and has won them. It's probably going to boil down to those guys. But in general, pass rushers on contenders tend to do well in this market. And there's one guy that you can get at long odds that has a path, and that's Rashawn Gary, 50-1. Think he has a narrow path, but again, he meets the qualifications, and 50-1's a pretty good price if you want to let your hair down and take a long shot in this market.
Let's do it. Let's let our hair down. I'm into it. You're high on the Chiefs. So of course the Chiefs are set at 11.5 in the market, you know, $115 to the over. You do like the Chiefs, obviously, back-to-back Super Bowls here, going for the three-peat.
Yeah, I've bet on three win totals this year. I bet the Bears over 8.5 early. That's too juiced now. I wouldn't want that now. I bet Dallas under 10.5. That's 9.5 at most spots now. Don't want to really get involved there. And the Chiefs, like, I know what you're probably thinking. Like, is this guy serious? We're talking about betting the over on the Chiefs. It pretty much, you know, flies in the face of everything I do. I tend to be more contrarian in nature, but here's the reality. Mahomes took over in 2018. Six seasons in the books now. KC's won at least 12 games in five of those years. The only time they fell below that number was 11, which was last year. So usually when I'm taking a bet like this where it's close to even money and it's a futures, if I'm going to miss, I'm going to miss small. And as long as Mahomes stays healthy, even if this bet loses, it's going to lose by a very small margin.
You have a plan for the Atlanta Falcons. We were having a discussion, Ryan, yesterday about the Falcons, because I believe it was week 9 where Cousins was injured last year. They've been kind of covert about Penix and Cousins, so who really knows what's happening with the quarterback situation right now? They are set at 9.5. A lot of that has to do with the division. The division odds on the Falcons are -145. What's your overall take here on the Falcons?
You know, they're a talented team. Kirk Cousins, you know, he's made a lot of money, very good agent, very good businessman, but he's also a pretty good quarterback. He's at least, like, if you're going to say who's better, Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins, you can't outright eliminate Cousins. It's at least a discussion. So, you know, the big thing here is this for me. Talented roster, three young blue chip skill players still on the rookie deals, good O-line. They're adding quality pieces to the defense. They added Jesse Bates last year. They just brought Judon in to, you know, the one weakness the team had was their pass rush. Judon's one of the more underrated players in the league. But like you said, with Cousins' injury, we don't exactly know what we're going to get. And, you know, the Falcons open up against the Steelers on opening day. Then they go to Philly for Monday night. Then they play the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. So a 1-2 start, maybe even an 0-3 start, are very much on the table. We get to see what they look like, get to see if they're competitive. But here's the thing. After that, the Falcons could be the favorite in every game they play for the rest of the season, maybe with the lone exception being week 9 against the Cowboys. So I'm looking at the Falcons from a variety of angles going into week 4. I'm going to check Cousins' MVP odds to see where he's at, maybe check in on the Falcons' win total, division odds, maybe a little Drake London or Bijan Robinson offensive player in the year. That's you know, I'm going to talk about that at Establish the Run when the time comes, but that's something I have my eye on going into the year.
No, I like that because you're taking a look at the schedule, then adjusting as the season progresses. Ryan Reynolds, EstablishTheRun.com, NFL betting analyst at Ryan Reynolds NFL on Twitter. So I don't have a price here on Malik Nabers as far as the rookie receiving yards leader. He is going to be the target there. We know this, Ryan. What's the price and give me the breakdown?
Yeah, I got him at plus 650 a few months ago. I saw him at plus 400 earlier today. I haven't checked every book out there, so I definitely still look at that. I have him at plus 250, so technically anything above that I'd still view as a value as long as he enters the year healthy. You know, he's 15-1 on the offensive rookie of the year market, so I think that's fair too, but that is a very, very, very crowded race. So I'm more interested in receiving yards because it's basically him or Marvin Harrison. And Harrison's early schedule is tough too. The Cardinals are probably going to peak later in the season, so I could see that being neck and neck, at least through the first half of the season. Giants have a more manageable schedule early. And like you said, especially with Saquon Barkley in Philly, you know, Nabers is a rookie, but he's essentially already the cornerstone of the offense. So I think he has a real shot there. The other options like Worthy and Thomas, Adunze even. Adunze has a ton of target competition in Chicago. I don't think they're drawing dead, but I think this is pretty much a two-horse race unless there's injuries.
Okay, and one final one. You've got Jonathan Taylor leading the league in rush yards.
Yeah, I mean, he's always among the favorites in that race. Anthony Richardson's a mobile quarterback, and, you know, as we've seen with Lamar Jackson over the years, when you play next to a guy like that, he creates opportunities for running backs as well. Colts have a good offensive line, very manageable division, but the thing I like the most about this, and this is something where I might wait a little bit to bet on it again, because I love their schedule down the stretch. I could see Taylor going ballistic in December and coming away with this. So I'm going to monitor that all year. You know, he was the runner-up in the offensive player of the year race a couple of years ago. So we've already seen that he's capable of monster production. That's something I have my eye on going forward too.
And you can keep monitored at establishtherun.com with Ryan Reynolds. That was a tremendous segment because I like your approach. First off, not flexing, just a good example of get into the market early. You got a lot of great prices, and then talking about breaking down the schedule. It was a tremendous job. At Ryan Reynolds, NFL on Twitter, and again, establishtherun.com. Thank you for the time, Ryan. We're going to talk to you during the regular season as well.
Wonderful. Pleasure as always.
Pleasure to speak with you. Really like those breakdowns. He's spread out amongst this awards market as well. Couple of really good prices.
I think that Rashawn Gary one's super sneaky.
50-1.
I think we have to remember going from Joe Barry to Halfley from Boston College now on that defense is a massive upgrade, because I think that my mom or my sister could call a better defense than Joe Barry right now.
Oof.
Massive upgrade for them. Gary's got all the talent in the world. He made a lot of sense when he said it's a contender, pass rusher on a winning team, fits the criteria. I think that's a really good number.
Are you feeling confident? We've got Palm versus the big guy coming up.
Oh, I'm going to crush him.
Wow.
That's a statement. It's over.
You're in a mood. You're in a mood.
It's unfortunate for Mike. It's not Mike's fault. He's just in the path today.
Mike Palm, Circa the D, Golden Gate Casino's VP of Ops and VSiN host, joins us next. We're going to get to Palm versus that lug, the big guy.